Samaya, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my vivacious partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and Hag Pesach Sameach to all the listeners, which means happy holiday of Passover, which unfortunately isn't real happy due to the war, but grateful something is finally being done to eradicate Iran's IRGC and consequently Iran's proxies. We must all be patient. Peace, even though temporary, will come to fulfill 1 Thessalonians 5:3.
Amen to that. And let's bow our hearts. Abba Father, as this Passover season concludes, we continue to thank you with immense gratitude for sending your Son to pay for our sins. And because of your resurrection, we know we will live forever and face tomorrow knowing your will carry us through all our afflictions. We pray protection for the soldiers fighting this enemy and your wisdom to the minds of our leaders. We lift up to you these prayer requests of our loved ones' salvations, and for those listening right now suffering from any disease, bless tonight's teaching and may it be to your glory. We ask in Yeshua's name, amen.
And amen. So tonight and until sundown tomorrow on the Essene calendar is the last day of the Passover season. Or on the Hebrew calendar, it's Thursday and Friday till sundown. And another high holy day for Israel as the last day of unleavened bread. Tonight, we will continue to look at that amazing friend and cousin of Jesus, who was actually born on Passover, Nisan 14.
John the Baptist.
Yes. And we'll do a quick review of some of the more important details of this eight-day season. But first, some news that especially touches Bible prophecy.
Yeah, starting with Israel.
Who have been hit pretty hard lately from Iran and Hezbollah. Since the beginning of Epic Fury over a month ago, thousands have been injured just in Israel, due mostly from those break-apart cluster bombs. However, praise the Lord, with still few casualties, approximately 28. And 13 Americans with 140 injured. Much damage has been done to buildings, especially in Tel Aviv, and reports are Iran still has missiles left.
We just need to find the remaining hidden launchers.
Oh, for sure.
As everyone knows by now, that last Friday, two American pilots had to eject from their plane over Iran.
Yeah, one was quickly found and the second was miraculously rescued from the mountains on Easter Sunday, which we prefer to call the Feast of First Fruits and Yeshua's Resurrection Day. So, good miracle. The details are really profoundly amazing. Unfortunately, the war continues.
As in southern Lebanon.
Yes, in fact, besides airstrikes, Israel has ground troops there, pushing Hezbollah out of the south, who continue to fight back and on Sunday struck Haifa, killing four Israelis. As you also know, President Trump has given the IRGC till 8 o'clock to accept his deal, or all hell will break loose. So far, as we were preparing this program, it is not likely any agreement will be achieved. Therefore, our military and Israel's are already beginning to escalate, hitting power plants, railways, and a petrochemical site.
A lot of what Trump says, you know, is just embellishment.
As in scare tactics, who doesn't really want to annihilate everything to totally hurt the new government and the good people of Iran.
Just the current establishment.
However, as of this afternoon, some escalation, as I said, is already occurring as we have hit Karg Island and more bridges. But here's a hoot. The IRGC has told the women to carry guns and join with young people to form a human chain around its power plants. you know, as in human shields. Mm. You better believe it. And one more important tidbit is that Ukraine is becoming more popular with the Arabs because President Zelensky is willing to share all his new technology with them, as they have invented over the last 4 years their own high-tech naval drones, which brought down Russia's warships in the Black Sea who were stopping Ukraine ships, but now they cannot. Naturally, the Arabs want this knowledge for the Straits of Hormuz and has signed a 10-year agreement with President Zelensky. They are now partners and no longer siding with Putin. And to top it off, Poland has now closed its airspace to Russia. All this will push Putin into making a peace deal.
And 1 Thessalonians 5 comes more into focus.
Hallelujah, God is good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you can read the many newsletters or listen to any previous programs on our webpage, shofarministries.net. You can also send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Be sure to include your return address on the envelope and thank you for your love offerings, which can also be made on shofarministries.net.
All right, so over the last few weeks, we have certainly conveyed how important it is to have even a little knowledge of our Jewish roots. And a very enlightened study was on why Mary Magdalene couldn't touch Jesus at the tomb.
Because he hadn't yet gone up to the Father.
And why must he do this at that time?
To present himself as the wave offering at 9 a.m.
That's right. Thus fulfilling still another facet of this diamond on the Feast of First Fruits. Again, we need to realize how Jesus satisfied every detail with his first coming, thereby literally fulfilling his first three spring appointments. Jesus is the first fruits of this first resurrection, and we will be part two of the first resurrection, but better labeled the righteous resurrection. And the martyred tribulation saints will be part three of the righteous resurrection. Then, at the end of the millennial kingdom, the last resurrection occurs at the great white throne judgment of the unrighteous.
So, three parts to the first resurrection of the righteous, and just one part for the last resurrection of the unrighteous.
Exactly. And once you truly understand his fulfillment, and with such accuracy, you will get the same revelation as we do. Can there be any doubt of his literally fulfilling his second coming appointments during the still unfulfilled fall feasts?
None. Absolutely no doubt about it.
It's like what I call a duh.
So, moving on.
We also explained how the 144,000 Israelites, according to Revelation 14:4, will be called the first fruits. This means of the coming final dispensation.
Because they replace us after the rapture.
And as a typology of Elisha, they will probably visualize our catching away, thereby getting a double anointing like Elisha did because he saw Elijah go up.
That's how they can all get saved at the same time.
Well, it's very plausible they will witness our departure with their new spiritual eyes as their veil is removed.
And they will certainly need a double anointing during these dark days of spiritual deprivation.
And last week we began covering John the Baptist because he was born on Passover,
which was 6 months before Yeshua, Luke 1:36.
And we also explained that it was Zechariah's turn as the Levitical priest to perform the duties in the temple in the ninth week from Nisan, which was Pentecost. Thankfully, Luke told us it was during the division of Abijah, which from 1 Chronicles 24:10, we know Zechariah would serve in the eighth week plus 1 week, for they all served during the feasts.
And Passover had already passed.
Right. Therefore, Zechariah served in the ninth week on the religious calendar, which, as we said, brings it to Pentecost. Then, while Zechariah was, and strictly by chance, performing the incense, the angel Gabriel revealed to him that Elizabeth would conceive and to call him Yochanan.
Meaning John.
And what we mean by saying strictly by chance is because they would cast lots, you know, like dice, to see who would actually have the privilege to solely burn the incense.
And surprise, it was Zechariah.
Imagine that. Which meant he was alone to privately hear from the angel Gabriel.
A definite God thing.
Mm-hmm. A divine appointment, because some priests are never able to burn the incense because it was always by chance. So Elizabeth would conceive that evening of Pentecost. Very fitting that we read in Luke 1 verse 15 that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from the time of conception.
Yeah, you know, the details of our God are just amazing.
And by the way, John the Baptist was the first one ever to be filled within and from birth. In the Old Testament, righteous men would be Holy Spirit anointed from time to time. But now, because of Jesus, we are forever filled with the Holy Spirit. So for John to be conceived and also filled with the Holy Spirit was a big-time miracle.
Yeah, the infilling wouldn't happen again until 32 or 33 years later.
Yes, when Jesus, after his resurrection, breathed on his disciples in John 20, verse 21, and then 50 days after that, when the Holy Spirit would fill all the believers in Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday in Acts chapter 2. I'm forever in awe of God's precision. He definitely is accurate, because 280 days later brings us exactly to Passover when John the Baptist was born.
It fits like a glove.
Oh, it sure does. Now, let's go a little more deeper.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
It is interesting that a tradition at the Passover Seder meal is to set a special place for Elijah and to open the door crack to welcome him in, because he was the Old Testament forerunner of the Messiah, Malachi 4.
In Matthew 11, Jesus said that John came in the spirit of Elijah.
Yes, because John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit and was the New Testament forerunner of the Messiah. Elijah, as did other patriarchs, had the Holy Spirit when God decided they needed an anointing for empowerment. Again, the Old Testament patriarchs were anointed at God's will when needed, where in the New Testament, the forever infilling, besides Jesus, of course, was first bestowed on John the Baptist and now all believers, with an extra boost baptism when needed for certain gifts. Some will speak in tongues, but the Bible is clear, not all will.
Perhaps given a greater gift, 1 Corinthians 12:29.
Which is why David prayed, "Oh God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me."
Yeah, we can't pray that.
Right, because he lives in all born-again believers forever. We can ask for extra power when we specifically need it to operate in the gifts.
But the Holy Spirit is in us to stay.
Praise the Lord, but know this as well. More power of the Holy Spirit automatically comes as he grows in us.
And how does he grow?
Pursue him. Get to know him more by studying his words.
Because the author is coming to town.
That's right. And don't you want to say, hey, I read your book. So let's reiterate. The week of the priest's temple service began every Sabbath. So there were 24 priests for 24 weeks. They would then repeat the same order for the next 24 weeks, beginning on the civil calendar of Tishrei. So, twice a year, the head of each priestly family would take his turn to serve in the temple.
Plus three more times at the major festivals.
Right. Now, the reason we know Luke is referring to the first set, or the first half of the biblical year of 24 weeks from Nisan, is that Luke would have said in the order of his second division, but he didn't. Instead, Luke said in the order of his division, which always means beginning with the first month of the biblical calendar. So, let's read Luke 1, verse 5.
There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
As we showed earlier, Zechariah was serving on Pentecost, as were the other priests, as it was a feast day when all would serve.
So John was conceived on Pentecost.
Right, and born on Passover. And we know from Luke 1, verse 36, that John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus, as confirmed by the angel to Mary that Elizabeth was at that time 6 months pregnant. So Yeshua's birthday had to be at Tabernacles 6 months after John. As well, we can also confirm that because Jesus died at Passover and his ministry was 3.5 years, starting, according to law, not before his 30th birthday. We do arrive at the Feast of Tabernacles for his birthday and also the beginning of his ministry when tempted by Satan. So, by knowing Jesus' birth, we can also count back 280 days, which tells us that Yeshua's incarnation was during Hanukkah.
Actually, on the 8th day.
Oh, and Jesus' number is 8. Of course, that...
Meaning never ending or eternity.
Right. Now, knowing this background, we can make better sense of Luke chapter 1. Now let's pick it up in verse 9.
According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was able to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord.
Again, they would cast lots to see who would have the privilege of burning the incense in the holy place. And unusual to get picked. In fact, some never did. But God wanted Zechariah to burn the incense so the angel Gabriel could come to him when he was alone with this important message. Verse 10.
And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink.
Okay, so, by the way, John the Baptist would later take the vow of a Nazarite, which means no alcohol. But this is applied only to those who take that vow. Otherwise, alcohol, mostly wine, was allowed in moderation. Yeshua was not a Nazarite, only that he lived in Nazareth. An easy mistake if not familiar with Hebraic roots.
And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb.
Very fitting, and just like God, that he would be conceived during Pentecost.
And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God.
Okay, the story goes on that because Zechariah dared to question the angel, so he was struck dumb temporarily. And we see verse 23, when his service was completed, that he departed to his own house. And the Greek word is metatata here, meaning immediately his wife Elizabeth conceived. Had to be that Pentecost evening when his temple duties at sundown were finished.
But Zechariah remained mute until John.
But not when John was born, but rather 8 days later.
Right, on the day of his circumcision.
Which would have been on the eighth day of the Passover season, and more precisely, the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And now you know why this day is important.
And
it's the High Holy Sabbath.
Yeah. And the High Holy Sabbath.
It was. Again, all planned out in just like God. Circumcision is a very important typology. Way back in Genesis 17, God told Abraham in verse 10 that
every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money,
as in any hired hand,
they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant.
So why the eighth day? Besides, Jesus' number is eight. Vitamin K is at its highest, therefore the blood can better coagulate. The New Testament, as in Romans 4, explains how today, because of Yeshua, we are under the new covenant of faith, through grace, where now our hearts must be circumcised, or you'll be cut off from the kingdom. So now you have a little more information to see how precisely detailed God is. And the importance of this final day of Passover, Nisan 22nd, which, as I said, is tonight and tomorrow till sundown on the Essene calendar, or Thursday and Friday till sundown on the Hebrew calendar. Have you ever thought that you could know the exact calendar day that Zechariah was able to speak again? Or John's birth? Or Yeshua's real birthday? How many times have you read Luke 1, verse 5, and just skipped over the course of Abijah? Well, now you know more of the story. So please share. And remember, God wants you to reveal these truths to others, especially to those who seek Him. For those who do seek Him, He will help you find so many of His gold nuggets. The major question is, how about your heart? Is it circumcised? How well do you know Him? Is He personal to you? You can invite Him in right now. Jesus is your Savior who has totally paid your debt. Or do you want to pay it yourself in the lake of fire? Always your choice. Choose eternal life. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122. Shalom till next time. Tell someone about your Savior.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.